This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Amen and amen. Asante sana for keeping you right here where you listen and live. My name is Chico Mbogo, and of course I'm taking you through Praise Junction. This is a time where we look at leaders, matters leaders and followers. And today with me in studio is Bishop David Oginde. I'm going to give him an opportunity to just tell us how he has been. But before that, if you are watching us and listening to us, kindly interact with us. Our numbers are 0717 400, that is 400-555. Better yet, you can also send us a message on 20933. Remember, you can find us on our Facebook pages, on YouTube, and also Twitter, that is X. And I know that it's going to be an awesome time. A very good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening from. May God bless you. So right this moment, allow me to invite Bishop. Karibu sana, Bishop.
Asante sana.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
How have you been?
Very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it's good to see you.
Asante sana.
Yes. So, before we get into...
Why did you take our grace?
I'm sitting in for her. She asked me to sit in for her.
Yeah, so we don't have grace today.
Oh,
no,
she will be back.
No. Joking. No grace is necessary for anything that you do.
Yes, so, true.
Yeah, but the grace of God is with us.
Amen. Thank you. You almost had me there. Yes,
I'm well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it's good to see you.
Thank you.
So before we get to the topic of the day, which is organizational justice, I happened to listen in and I took some little notes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but before we get there, possibly you can comment. There's a father of faith who passed on last week.
Yes.
He is
Joe Kayo.
I forget his title, but he is a man of faith. We've all heard about him, some of the big things that he did. But some of us may not really understand what kind of a man he is. When I say a father of faith, because I've heard. But help us understand, what kind of a man was Joe Kayo?
I met Joe Kayo as a young boy, let me say, mm-hmm. in high school.
Yes.
Just after I got saved, in school,
mm-hmm.
When I was in high school. Those days there was secondary school,
mm-hmm.
and there was high school. So
yes.
When I say high school, I mean mm-hmm. the higher side of the school.
Okay.
Form 5 and 6.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there used to be from 1 to 4.
Yes.
What now we call the IGCSE, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
People are crazy about. That's what we went through
mm-hmm.
As our education system. So when I was in high school is when I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I met Joe Kayo
mm-hmm.
For the first time.
Yes.
Just for some people who may not know, Joe Kayo was... founder, as it were, of the Deliverance Church.
Mm-hmm.
He was the pastor
mm-hmm.
Of Deliverance Church when we were growing up, and
yes.
then later he went into other ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very gifted man.
Okay.
When I met him, he was a very, very gifted man.
Mm-hmm.
An eloquent, powerful speaker
mm-hmm.
Of the Word of God.
Yes.
A great singer.
Hey.
And playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those days, he actually was instrumental in bringing instruments into the church.
Wow.
Because in those days, guitar, mm-hmm. drums, you know, the normal drums
mm-hmm.
That we use today could not be seen in church. Those belong to the nightclub.
Oh,
so okay. especially electric guitar. You could not bring it to church.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Deliverance Church was the first to actually bring those things into the church.
Wow.
And it was a revolution, you mm-hmm. know, because these live bands used mm-hmm. to only be nightclubs and so on. I remember groups like Mangele Pa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now to imagine that there's a Mangele Pa
in church.
You could not even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of revolution that he brought in within the church circles in terms of worship. The Deliverance Explosion Choir
mm-hmm.
was quite something. I mean, they
it
went
was named like that.
Yes, it was called Deliverance Explosion. Explosion Choir.
Okay.
And they would go around schools mm-hmm. In rallies and so on. So that's when I was in school, that's where I met them. But Joe Kayo was really at the foundation of the Deliverance Church ministry,
mm-hmm.
a gifted preacher, a gifted singer. I still remember some of his sermons, which mm-hmm. I had in the 70s.
Wow.
Yes, they still ring in my mind, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just because of the kind of gift that he had.
Okay.
But he was also gifted in terms of miracles.
Wow.
He could pray and miracles happen.
Wow.
So one thing I remember at a personal level mm-hmm. in my encounter with him, my first encounter with him was there was a rally, mm-hmm. Not a rally, a camp
mm-hmm.
at Mangu High School.
Yes.
A high school camp.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it was high school, but it was everybody was there, different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I attended that camp.
Yes.
And my background was very conservative Anglican, mm-hmm. you know? And so these Pentecostal things were things that I was not used to. Mm-hmm. I was not very enthusiastic about.
Yes.
So on the last night of the camp,
mm-hmm.
he, after preaching, he said, I'm going to preach, and he preached on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he's going to anoint everybody with oil,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
as you go back to wherever you came from.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I knew I was not going to go
mm-hmm.
for that kind of anointing. Those were not
because you were kind of reserved.
Yes, yeah. very reserved. And, mm-hmm. and I just felt, no, this is not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, mm-hmm. To make it orderly, mm-hmm. people are going to come row by row.
Mm-hmm. So you had no choice.
So I have no choice. I could not remain
yes.
on my seat.
Yes.
So as people went, he would pray for them, and people were falling. People, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of things were happening.
Yes.
And I made up my mind, I'm not going to be part of these gimmicks, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yes.
I'm going to be. And remember, I'm a high school student,
yes.
you know, but mm-hmm. Very strong-headed at that, on matters spiritual.
Yes.
So when my turn came, mm-hmm. we went forward and we stood in a line. Then he was started from one end, mm-hmm. anointing people with oil as he goes.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got to me, and he just put his finger on the oil and then touched my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, the way you strike a match,
yes.
a match stick
yes,
on a match box,
yes.
it's like fire.
Wow.
That's what I felt. It's like there was something that struck my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened after that. I was down.
Mm-hmm.
When I woke up,
mm-hmm.
I found I was on my seat.
Okay. Somebody carried you.
Apparently, I'd been carried, and mm-hmm. my white shirt, which mm-hmm. I was wearing, was all soiled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized, yes, I had fallen, and mm-hmm. not only fallen, but I was still praying at my seat,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I just realized this is something totally different. This is not anything that I'm used to.
Yes.
And it was beyond my own, you know, ability
mm-hmm.
to control.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had gone there strong, I'm not going to
fall down like these others.
These other people. First yes. of all, I didn't want to go. And then now I have to go, you
yes.
know, because it's row by row.
Yes.
And I really got to appreciate that there is a power that I had not tapped into.
Wow.
There's an experience of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
that I had not actually experienced.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that a similar thing had happened to me in school, but that's a different story. Let me talk about Jokayo.
Yes.
But Jokayo, therefore, was really a father of faith,
mm-hmm.
and especially in Pentecostalism
mm-hmm.
In this country. He soon moved to Zimbabwe, and he was in Zimbabwe for a very long time. That's why there's a generation that totally doesn't know him.
Yes.
Because he was away, I don't know how many years, maybe 20 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
Because he went there when I was still in school, and he came back actually when I was working, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes,
And many people didn't know him. The younger generation didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
But even in Zimbabwe, he did a great ministry. I would say that at some point there's something that happened in his life, but which we really would say robbed us of a great man of God.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's why many people may not know him
yeah.
in that period when he was away.
Mm-hmm.
But after he came back, again, I had an opportunity to, I haven't had too many opportunities to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I remember one time we had a university, what we call university mission.
Mm-hmm.
That time I was not, I was a staff worker with Focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went to, he was the main speaker, and
yes.
I just went to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, this man is still just as powerful.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He was just as powerful and just as anointed. Again, I can remember that message clearly mm-hmm. When he spoke on Jesus crossing the boat,
mm-hmm.
Crossing the lake in the boat with his disciples.
Yes.
When he fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very powerful message that he preached, and hundreds of people got saved in that particular meeting in the university mission.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that Jokayo was a very special man of God,
mm-hmm.
very gifted, anointed, and we owe him mm-hmm. Pentecostalism in Kenya. I would
wow.
say that,
mm-hmm.
yeah, because they are the ones who pioneered what is modern day Pentecostalism. When many people had not even embraced those days, some things we could not do, we could not say,
mm-hmm.
You know, in church.
Yes.
Now almost every church is a Pentecostal church.
And we play electric guitars.
We play electric guitars and beat drums. And,
yes.
You know, we used to have the ones for, you know, the Wakorino ones.
Yes, yes.
But not these modern
day drums.
Mm-mm. You would not bring those in church.
People thought they have some.
They
funny
come with
spirit.
That spirit.
Yeah.
Saxophone
yes.
in church.
Ooh.
Well, no, not the two can't go together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he pioneered that,
mm-hmm.
and today it's like if you are a church and you don't have musical instruments, you
even
don't
the
have church.
Even worship will feel funny.
It feel funny.
Yes.
No, those days it was hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and you didn't need the organ and the piano, yes,
mm-hmm.
but
was enough.
Was enough,
yeah,
if you could afford them.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, some churches allowed the box guitar,
mm-hmm.
But not the electric
mm-hmm.
guitar. So you could play the box guitar,
mm-hmm.
strum away, but not the electric guitar.
Wow,
those ones were associated with evil.
Oh, I like the way God uses men to bring people into understanding.
Yes.
Because now when we think about it, it looks, how would you think the electric guitar, the same God who created that man who created it.
Yeah.
Yes, everything
yeah,
comes
yeah, so
from
imagine
God.
They will be in heaven.
Yes.
But those days, mm-hmm. no, you mm-hmm. could not play electric guitars, drums, saxophone, those things, those mm-hmm. are associated with the world.
Oh.
You cannot bring them into church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pastor, when Bishop, when you're talking about that, I'm just saying, like, in Kenya, we've really missed a big thing. Because the people, these days, people have a particular notion about the church. And now when you talk about Joe Kayo being such a powerful man of God, you know, it's like we don't respect our own, but we acknowledge others who are in the States or some other countries.
Yes. That is true. That is true. We don't appreciate so much our own people.
Mm-hmm.
I think to some extent, the proliferation of churches has kind of reduced the significance of leadership within the church.
Oh, okay.
Because these days, everybody's a bishop, everybody's an apostle, everybody's a pastor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the dignity and stature of leaders has really been diluted.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Wamboi Mboro who was joking the other day about church fathers, you know, city fathers.
Yes.
You're saying that our young pastors call themselves city fathers, you know.
How are you a father without acknowledging others?
Yes, you are just a... So everybody's a city father, everybody's a church father, everybody's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that has kind of diminished the level of appreciation for men and women who are making a difference, who have made significant contributions within our society and in the church context.
Yes.
I think, in my view, that is what kind of has diluted. But we have men and women who have really pioneered the work, done a great job, great sacrifices, laid foundations, disciples others, raised them up. You know, people like Twemi Singh, J.B. Masinde, those bishops. J.B. Masinde was an interpreter for Joe Kayo.
He was
a young boy, you know, interpreting, and he was also in the Explosion Choir. I first met him in that choir when he came to speak to us as young people.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that some of these great leaders in the church actually grew up under the wings of Joe Kayo.
Joe Kayo.
Yes.
And he didn't have a title. I've not heard him. Joe Kayo. Did he have a title?
He was apostle.
Oh.
Apostle Joe Kayo.
Okay.
He was, I think, either the first or among the first apostles
in Kenya.
to use that title in Kenya.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not a common, and so people were like, hey, apostle.
Wow.
But you know, because the titles like bishop, archbishop, reverend, those were not to be had among the Pentecostals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, those were associated with the mainstream churches.
Like Anglican.
Yes, yeah, so we had evangelists, we had apostles, we had prophets, and those kinds of titles.
Yes.
Not bishop, and now we have all moved to...
Those other titles.
To the other side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I think Apostle Joe Kayo, I think, was the first person, at least I had, using that title.
Oh, thank you so much, Bishop.
Yes.
You know, I'm just thinking, God is ministering something, even when you tell us certain things like what he did, yeah? Because God uses men, yeah?
He does.
Yes.
He does. He does. He uses people just like you and I. The Bible says Elijah was...
Mm-hmm.
A man just like us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he stopped the rain.
He stopped the rains. Joshua stopped the sun.
Yes.
We too can stop something.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Bishop.
We too can stop something.
Asante sana. So I'm thinking right now we will change gears.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's change gears, if you say so.
Okay.
You know, you are the one who tells us which gear to go to, to engage.
Oh, we thank God. So you had been discussing of course, teaching about organizational justice, I took some notes. You talked about distributive justice, procedural, interactual, and informational. I like that one about informational. You know, because sometimes they are in an organization, you hear things and you're wondering, hey, maybe you're the last person.
The only one in Jerusalem.
Yes, but I also liked something that you said. You say that this organizational justice is some kind of perception.
Yes, organizational justice is a matter of perception.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so it is how people perceive things to be happening.
Okay.
And it may not be the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but those perceptions determine how a person reacts, responds to situations.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you perceive that I'm treating you in a particular way,
mm-hmm.
then you will react or respond.
Yes.
According to your perception.
Mm-hmm.
And until, therefore, you get information that clarifies what the whole thing is about,
yes.
you will go with your perception.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
So it is a matter of perception,
mm-hmm.
but it affects the organization.
Oh.
Yes.
I also heard you say that it's important for the organization to be seen. Yeah. Not just to, you know, justice needs to be seen even if...
Yes, it's the lawyers. The lawyers say that justice must not just be done.
Oh, okay.
But must be seen to be done.
Wow.
So organizational justice actually is based on that principle.
Mm-hmm.
So the leader or the management
mm-hmm.
or the leadership
mm-hmm.
may be doing something
yes.
which is very clear to them
mm-hmm.
what they are doing.
Yes.
And it can be a very fair thing that they are doing.
Yes.
But the observer...
Oh, who doesn't have all
who
the
doesn't
details?
Have that information...
Yes.
...feels this is so unfair, this is so unjust,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm.
Or the other way around.
Yes.
They feel this is very kind, this is very just, this is very fair.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just say that what you are doing is as per the law or as per the book or as per the... principles we live by, our values and so on,
mm-hmm.
Therefore it is just.
Yes.
That justice must also be seen
mm-hmm.
by those members of the organization.
Yes.
For them to be able to see, sometimes mm-hmm. they need clarity
mm-hmm.
so that what they are seeing is in congruence with what is actually intended.
Yes.
So you can have very good intentions,
mm-hmm.
but people misinterpret those intentions
mm-hmm.
and therefore they act according to their interpretation.
Wow.
So that is why, yes, it is important that justice is not just done.
But it needs to be seen.
It is also be seen to be done.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you. I think you stopped off at procedural justice. Or had you gotten to interactional? I don't think so.
We were just about to start on interactional
yes.
justice.
Mm-hmm.
We had defined what interactional justice is all about.
Okay.
Sorry. So we were going to get into just saying how it works mm-hmm. within an organizational
mm-hmm.
setup.
Yes.
Yes. So interactional justice has to do with how organizational members interact with the leader
mm-hmm.
or leaders.
Okay.
So like we said, it's a perception.
Oh, yeah.
So people may feel that my interaction as a leader with Shiko
mm-hmm.
is at a different level
mm-hmm.
compared to others.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it may just be a perception.
Yes.
It's just that our work relationship
mm-hmm.
perhaps brings us closer together more times
mm-hmm.
than it would with other people.
Yes.
Or our personalities
They agree.
Yes. You know? So when we get there, we can share a joke, we can share love.
Yes.
Which has nothing, you know? It's just that we connect.
Yes.
Now, when somebody else comes, we still do business the same way we would do with you, but we have no jokes to share.
Oh, with that person.
With that person.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just a matter of fact and business. And I still serve them the same way I serve Shiko in terms of work.
Mm-hmm.
But now that extra humor that we enjoy together may make somebody feel that they are not as welcome in my presence as a leader.
Oh.
So sometimes they may even want to pass through you to come and talk to, you know,
the boss. Boss's favorite.
Yeah, the boss's favorite, you know.
Yes.
That kind of thing. So that is what would then bring the whole issue of justice. So some people may feel that they are not so close. There's a kitchen cabinet or like Kenyans, we have created this a deep state, you know, in the organization.
Yes.
And these are the members of that deep state.
Yes.
And it could all be a perception. So somebody may come to you and say, oh, you, Shiko, you know, you are members of the deep state. Could you? And you're thinking, how?
Yes.
Where? You know?
Yes.
Because you are not even aware that that is what people are seeing or thinking. And that may affect how business, therefore, is done within the organization because some people feel they are outsiders.
They're left out.
So the interaction with justice, therefore, requires honesty. Honesty in the part of the leader to deal with each person in an honest manner.
Yes.
So I'm not interacting with people at different levels.
Okay.
So even though they may perceive that I'm closer to others than the rest, when they dig deeper, they will find that there's nothing you know that they don't know.
Very true.
There's nothing that you hold that they don't hold.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, we are at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
So that level of honesty will help with the interaction of justice.
Yes.
The other thing is about sensitivity and respect that is shown to members during interaction. So when a person comes into my space, whether it is in my office or whether we are doing a project together or whichever place, I need to be sensitive to who they are and be very deliberate about it so that they feel comfortable, they feel respected, they feel valued, they feel, you know. And that should be for everybody. I don't know whether I've had it, especially in funerals when people are giving tributes, and they say, you know, I was so and so's friend, and I thought I was the only friend. Until I discovered that they have another friend, and that friend was also thinking
he's the only one. Yes,
you know. It means that when this person gives you attention, gives you their full attention.
Wow.
Until you feel like you are valued, you are the only one, you are their friend, you are their best.
Yes.
But everybody else that they're interacting with is feeling the same.
Wow.
That is not easy for most of us. But it is something that you want to work on so that your members, your team members, none of them feels like they are an outcast. So you are sensitive when you are dealing with them, and you want to make them as comfortable as possible. You want to help them to relate with you in a way that they feel valued, they feel respected.
Yes.
They almost feel like they are the only ones, you know, only to discover later that
there
are others on the side who are equally treated well.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the interpersonal treatment. Now, the interpersonal treatment is how I build the cohesion between team members. So that the relationship is not just between you and I, but I try to build a relationship between you and the other person.
Wow.
So that you feel like we are in this together. You create a spirit of teamwork among the members.
Yes.
So that there is that interpersonal relationship between the members, even without you as the leader. There are some leaders who tend to create division, you know, what we call the divide and rule. You know, so you don't want your team members to come together because you want to be the center of focus. There are leaders who enjoy that. So that if you want something, even from your colleague, you have to come through me. You're looking surprised.
Yes.
No, it happens. There are leaders like that because they want to be the center of everything.
Okay.
They are the sun. The rest are the planets. They revolve just around. But you have to get your light from me. So if somebody wants something, they have to pass through me. Then I can say, now you go and talk to Shiko, or I say, Shiko, go and help this, so and so. So I feel important.
And very powerful.
Very powerful. Very powerful.
Yes.
There are leaders like that. A good leader wants the way to diffuse interactional justice.
Yes.
Or perception of injustice is to help people to interact among themselves.
Wow.
You help your team members to interact among themselves. Then they will soon discover that there are no favorites.
Very true.
Yeah, that we are all the same. We have just different duties. We have different personalities and so on. And the last one, of course, in that area of interactional justice is the perceived fairness in terms of if something is, let's say there's a project to be done. The people that I choose to go into that project,
yes,
how are they chosen? If there is a trip, especially a nice trip,
out of the country,
and
like out of
the
Paris.
Country, you want to go to Paris, I can see. So there is an opportunity to go to Paris.
Yes.
Who goes? You know, that will make people to begin feeling like they are favorites. But if I am able to give people opportunity in a fair manner, then that is diffused. People know that even though so and so has gone this time, my chance will come
yes,
at
yes.
another time. So they are happy that so and so is representing us. In fact, they feel what we call vicarious satisfaction. The person who has gone has gone on our behalf. Their joy is our joy.
Yes.
But when that is not there, then they feel, why them? And why not me? Why not us? And so even though you come back with great stories, no one wants to listen.
to
those stories.
Yes.
You are, you know... a favorite. That's why you enjoy those opportunities. And that can create some trouble.
Bishop, I'm seeing this a lot in Jacob's family.
Yes.
Joseph,
the coat of many colors.
Yes.
And you see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that happens in organization, by the way. if you find that you are the Joseph of the team,
mm-hmm.
they will organize of how to get rid of you.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
People do. They can undermine you. They mm-hmm. can cause you not to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You want some help from them. They don't offer it.
Yes. When you're in need, no one shows up.
No one shows up. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you need some specific technical support.
Mm-hmm.
The people who could offer you that support, they don't offer it.
Oh.
So then you just find you're in the pit, mm-hmm. you know?
Alone.
Alone.
Yes.
All alone, because people want you to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so playing favorites mm-hmm. with team members is not a very
dangerous.
Wise thing.
Mm.
It's not a very wise, it's very dangerous,
mm.
Both to you and to the team.
Yes.
Yeah, and particularly to the individual that is favored.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can be undermined.
Wow.
So this is something that leaders need to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you may actually be very honest where you sit, very fair,
mm-hmm.
and from your perspective, you are doing things okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we said it is perceptions.
Yes.
Are the members seeing it in the same way?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get reports, people are saying this and saying that,
mm-hmm.
then you need to do something about it. You don't just say, oh,
dismiss.
You know, don't mm-hmm. dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that perception
mm-hmm.
is actually affecting their work.
Their output.
Their output
mm-hmm.
and their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So therefore, you need to do something about it so that... is diffused,
yes.
And people feel there's justice, there's fairness in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because when employees are treated disrespectfully,
mm-hmm.
it actually acts as evidence of interactional injustice.
Oh.
When you treat a person in a disrespectful manner. For that example, reprimand them
mm-hmm.
in the presence of others,
mm-hmm.
embarrass them when they are making a presentation, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Then they begin to feel removed from you.
Yes.
As the leader. They mm-hmm. feel you are looking down on me, you mm-hmm. are I'm not in your inner circle,
mm-hmm.
And so on. So it will greatly affect their performance.
Yes.
It will affect their performance and it will affect how they relate with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that is considered injustice. Interactional injustice. So you do not want to reprimand, embarrass.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we as leaders sometimes do
mm-hmm.
In the spirit of, maybe I will say it later, but let me just say it now that has come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
There is some people in an attempt
mm-hmm.
to deal with this,
mm-hmm.
Then go democratic.
Oh,
so
they start campaigning against.
No. As a leader, you go democratic.
Oh, okay.
With your members.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think let me use an example that from the field where I have been.
Yes.
In a church setup.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example, I'm the senior pastor
yes.
of a church,
mm-hmm.
and I have 4 or 5 other pastors.
Yes.
Then now, in trying to be fair,
mm-hmm.
I draw a rota of speaking,
mm-hmm.
of preaching.
Yes.
And I give everybody an equal chance.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
So through the quota...
Mm-hmm.
You preach twice, the other one preach twice, the other one twice, and me twice,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
So it looks fair to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That is not necessarily just.
Okay.
Yeah, you look surprised.
Very, because I thought that was very just.
That's not just.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we started, if you listened, I think we started with you, I don't know.
No, you started with grace.
We started with grace.
Yes.
Interactional justice is
yes.
based on equity theory.
Yes, equity.
The sense of equity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, equity is different from equality.
Yes.
Yes. Mm. So when you give everybody an equal chance, that is equality.
Oh.
That is not equity.
Equity. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because in these 6 members of your team,
yes,
they are very good preachers, gifted preachers. Mm-hmm. There are some of them who would not want to even to stand before the congregation and preach, even though they are pastors.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. They would rather do something else.
They may probably very good in visitation.
Very good in visitation.
Yes.
You know? Mm. They are very good with people. They are very good with children. They are very good with youth or something, you know? Mm. They are good in administration, in organizing things.
Yes.
You know? Mm. So as a leader, if then you say, I will give everybody an equal chance to preach, that is not equity.
Very true. Now I see.
You get it?
Yes, I'm getting.
That is not equity. Mm-hmm. Equity is in the sense that I am giving everybody a chance to be the best of themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, like the way the servant, the person went and gave everyone according to their
ability. Yes, the talent story.
Yeah, the talents.
One was given one, five, another one two, another one five.
Yes.
According to their ability. That is equity.
Wow.
But equality would have given them equal. Mm-hmm. But then they will not do the same. You know, the person with two could only manage two and they produce another two.
Yes.
The person with five had the capacity of managing five,
yes,
and they produce another five. Mm-hmm. The one with one, even with the one they had no capacity of multiplying. Yes. Imagine if they were given five.
Oh, quite a waste.
They would have stored it, all of it.
Yes.
Quite a waste. Mm. So as a leader, therefore, the most important thing is to know your members, know their capacities, know their areas of gifts and skills and abilities. And, for lack of a better word, make use of them according to that.
Yes.
Give them opportunity to excel and to thrive in their area of strength. Mm-hmm. They will not bother with the other person.
No.
No. Mm-hmm. So what they are looking for is not an equal opportunity to preach.
Yes.
Is that I am given an opportunity to be myself and to excel in the things that I'm good at.
Yes.
So if then the other person is given even 5 opportunities to preach and they do a good job in preaching, I celebrate them.
Yes.
But I'm also given my chance in a visitation or in children work or whatever area, which I'm also good at, and they celebrate me.
Yes.
Do you see? Mm-hmm. That is now the justice we are talking about. That's the fairness we are talking about. Mm-hmm. So democracy is not what we are called to in organizational leadership. Mm-hmm. You are not called to give people democratic equal opportunities, which some of us as leaders tend to do.
But you see, Bishop, for a leader to do that, then they must know their members very well.
That's what leadership is all about. That's what leadership is all about.
Yes, yes.
You have to know your members very well. In transformational leadership, there's something called individualized consideration.
Wow.
Which is one of the 4 I's of transformational leadership. Mm-hmm. What it basically means is that you get to know every person as an individual, their gifts and their strengths, their abilities, their likes, their dislikes, their training, everything. So then it is only in that way that you can make use of those gifts and abilities in a way that brings satisfaction to the person, but also achievement of goals of the organization.
Yes.
But if you treat everybody the same, then there are some people who will benefit in the process, but there are some people who will lose in the process.
Yeah.
Because we are not the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like you said, it calls for that knowing every individual member of your team.
I like that. Very much, especially because when you go to the education sector, I see 844, a lot of people suffered because it only dealt with the people who are very bright academically.
Mm-hmm.
But now for people who are very good in the field, possibly like the Kemboys who can run very well, the footballers, the artistic people,
mm-hmm.
Some of them are even called dumb.
Of course. Yeah, because they are dumb in that
maths, yes.
But
yes.
They are not dumb in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. an area that they are good at.
Mm-hmm.
Very true, very
wow.
true. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So getting the people to discover themselves,
mm-hmm.
the other thing that a leader does, of course, which is now not directly related to what you are saying,
mm-hmm.
is that... having known who you are,
mm-hmm.
I help you to grow your potential.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And become a better you.
Mm-hmm.
That is what will make this interactional justice
yes.
to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody then feels that you are unfair or you mm-hmm. are treating one person better than the other.
Yes.
Because everyone is satisfied and happy
mm-hmm.
in their area.
Yes.
And they feel that the leader is supporting them
mm-hmm.
in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will even create better collaboration
mm-hmm.
among the members.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are good at this, I am good at this. And when you want something in my area, you come, you ask.
Yes.
And I support you. And
yes.
when I want something in your area, I come to you and you support me.
Mm-hmm.
And the team grows together.
Wow.
Yes.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you. So I think as we wind up that section.
Yes.
The leader, therefore, also needs to be not just respectful, but
mm-hmm.
also polite and friendly when they are dealing with people.
Mm.
It's part of interactional justice.
Yes.
Some leaders are very rough.
That doesn't come easy. When you say that, I just scan through. And a lot of leaders, many of them, it doesn't come easy. I don't know why. Maybe
if it came easy, we wouldn't need this session.
Oh, yes. Very true.
If it was natural, you don't need to study it.
No.
All of us, nobody teaches us how.
Mm-hmm.
There's no class you have to go to know how to breathe.
No. It comes naturally.
It comes naturally. You
yes.
just breathe. So there are mm-hmm. no lessons.
Wow.
But some of these things, the reason we learn them or mm-hmm. we talk about them
mm-hmm.
is because it doesn't come
easy.
Naturally.
Yes.
It is not easy.
Mm.
So it's something you have to
work on. And be intentional.
Be very intentional about it.
Mm-hmm.
So being polite and friendly is a leadership virtue that
mm-hmm.
enhances that interactional justice.
Yes.
Every of your team members need
mm-hmm.
to feel that you treat them with kindness,
mm-hmm.
even when they are wrong. You know? Especially when they are wrong.
Especially when they are wrong.
They have made
yes.
a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That you treat them with kindness, you talk to them nicely,
mm-hmm.
You correct them positively,
yes.
And so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow, I like that very much.
Yes.
Just because someone is wrong, it doesn't mean you should
shout at them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
You don't demean them. You don't shout at them. You
mm-hmm.
Error is to human. So
yeah,
one of these days you'll also be in the wrong.
Very true.
And you'll need somebody to
be kind.
To be kind to you.
Yes.
Yes. So be kind to others.
Mm-hmm.
Be polite.
Mm-hmm.
And be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In everything that you do. Then your members will feel, they won't even think about interactional justice.
No.
Yeah.
They will be...
They'll just be happy.
Very happy.
To do their
no
work.
One wants to leave the organization.
No. Yes, yes, yes. Nobody wants to leave the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, it is said, and it is true, people
yes.
don't leave organization, they leave the people.
Oh.
Yeah, the people leave leaders, not
mm-hmm.
the organization.
That's a deep one.
You can have a very good organization. Mm-hmm. Everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
But your immediate supervisor is mm-hmm. chaos.
Yes.
The people leave.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not leaving the organization.
No, you're leaving the leader.
This person who is giving you hell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just can't work there, you know.
It's not good for my health.
It's not good for my health.
Yes.
And people out there think, but you're in such a great organization. I would like to get into that place. How can you leave such a great place?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not part of the whole organization.
Yes.
You are part of your little corner where mm-hmm. you're interacting with this particular leader
mm-hmm.
Directly, and they are not treating you well.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what the rest of the organization is like.
Mm-hmm.
You will just not be happy.
Very true.
Yeah.
Bishop, we'll have to take a pause there. We will be back in the next hour. Santi sana for keeping it right here where you listen and live. We have learned so much. Matters interactional justice. I have learned it's important for a leader to be kind. And of course, to be fair to the followers. And of course, when you come back, Bishop is going to continue telling us matters to do with organizational justice. If you have a question, kindly do send them on 0717-400-555. 0717-400-555. Better yet, you can just use our text line, which is 209-33 for now. We go for a short break. We'll be back in the next hour.
This is the Leadership Forum. Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct. Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Yes, of course. This is a Leadership Forum. Asante sana for keeping it right here where you listen and live. This is Praise Junction. And of course, my name is Shiko Mbogo, taking you through this amazing show. With me is Reverend Dr. David Oginde. He has been telling us matters, organizational justice. I'll be with him in just a short while. But allow me to sample some of the comments and contributions coming in. I see Helen Moore saying, greetings from Vancouver. Salimia Daktari.
Wow.
Yes. Those
greetings have traveled a distance.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. This is Dr. Helen Moore. Enoch Misango is.
I know Helen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wife of our pastor.
Yes.
Pastor
Isaac
Moore.
Yes. Yes. He used to be a pastor in Thika Road.
Yes.
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 I see Enoch Misango saying, good morning, Shiko, getting you loud and clear. Quite a number of people very excited to hear Bishop. Allow me to sample a few of them on WhatsApp. Someone saying, those things Bishop is talking about, I feel like they are medieval. How old is Bishop?
I am medieval by all means.
Yes. Someone else saying, good morning from Umoja, tuned in as usual. Thank the Lord for the precious gift. Indeed, Yesu ni jemedari. And you're saying you're following all the way from Umoja. There's someone else saying, good afternoon, Bishop and Grace, it's Shiko, saying, please be encouraged. Personally, I always look forward to Mondays for the meat of the word and, of course, Leadership Forum. For that, I am Rafikim, so God bless you abundantly. There's someone else here who is saying, that one is for question of the day. Someone else, allow me. Yes, someone else saying, praise Jesus, Shiko and Bishop. Tune in as usual. Bishop has reminded me of them days. I got born again at 9 and have had the privilege of finding these things like guitars in church still on, because my mom made sure I attended missions and revival meetings that early. I think those days there was so much seriousness with the things of God. This is one flow from Thika. You guys,
you can say that again.
I was about to ask you, Bishop, when you look at young people today, do you see you back then, or you feel like we need to put on some work?
I look at it from two different perspectives.
Yes.
One mm-hmm. is when we were growing up as young believers, mm-hmm. In high school, into university, and so on,
mm-hmm.
our understanding of our relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
I think, is quite different from what the understanding is.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not just our relationship with God, it's relationships in general.
Okay.
If we start there,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's where perhaps we may have missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Our relationship with our teachers,
mm-hmm.
with our parents,
yes,
with our seniors, was at a different level.
There was so much honor.
The honor, yes. Respect, the things you could do and not do in mm-hmm. the presence of a senior person, an adult,
yes,
of your parents, of your teachers, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have got to the place where we have lost some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that the young people of today don't respect their parents,
mm-hmm.
but there is an informality.
Oh, yeah.
That is in that relationship,
mm-hmm.
that you can almost say anything to your parents. You mm-hmm. can do anything with your parents and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and your teachers,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been sometimes in school and the way the children interact with the teachers and the things they can say and answer, and that includes my children.
Mm-hmm.
He just cringe, you know?
Yeah.
But even the teachers seem to allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So that now has spilled into
our relationship with God. Mm-hmm.
So God is just a buddy. He's just, you know, you can do anything, say Ooh. Anything, and still be okay with God.
Hey. That's a dangerous...
It's a very dangerous steep. Thing. So
yeah.
sometimes, therefore, as a pastor,
mm-hmm.
I interact with young people
mm-hmm.
and try to bring this whole thing that we call reverence
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of them, it is a very alien. Our leaders have mm-hmm. not helped it either.
Yes.
In the public space,
mm-hmm.
when you hear how people talk about the president,
mm-hmm.
or talk to,
yes.
or talk, or rebuke,
mm-hmm.
or insult in public.
Yes.
So again, it has taken that away from us,
mm-hmm.
that there are things you can't say about the president. He is the president. You
yes.
may not like him.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have voted for him. But it is that office
mm-hmm.
that is called president. He may be younger than you. He may be less educated than you are. But he holds that office called
yes.
the president mm-hmm. of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there are things you cannot say about him, say to him, most of all, tell him.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
But we just do it. We just shout, we make noise, and so on. So that sense of respect and honor for authority
mm-hmm.
is lost, or is getting lost.
Wow.
So when you bring it now to the spiritual circles,
mm-hmm.
then even that respect and honor and reverence for God also is lost.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do anything, we can say anything, we can dress anyway.
When going to church.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There are things you could never wear when you're going to church.
Yes.
But these days, parents themselves,
mm-hmm.
you just look at a mother, how they are dressed, they are going to church with their children.
And you know that's taboo in a few years. You will not be able to tell your daughter or son anything.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not thinking
mm-hmm.
that we are going into God's house. It is a social place where I can go and show myself off.
Hey.
Why are you looking shocked? That's how I see it.
Yes.
So you want to show yourself, you want to, I don't know. I don't know that a person who dress, let me just use dress as an example. It's not the only thing.
Yes, yes.
But when a person dresses in a particular way
mm-hmm.
and they are leaving their house,
mm-hmm.
going to church,
mm-hmm.
where do they think they are going? Have you stopped to think,
mm-hmm.
where am I going?
It's, we've lost reverence.
That's the thing. Yes. So I'm only going to, this is how I want people to see me.
Yes.
So it is like you are going for a social event.
Oh.
No, we are going into God's house.
Mm.
And therefore, I should respect him. I have been, I've had opportunity to go to State House
mm-hmm.
a few times.
Yes.
I can tell you for a fact,
mm-hmm.
it is a changing also.
Mm-hmm.
But when people know they are going to State House,
you can go with jeans.
They dress a certain way.
Yes.
They dress a certain way.
Yes.
Because you know you are going to State House. Mm-hmm. Even those people who dress in particular ways when they are coming to church,
mm-hmm.
don't dress that way when they are going to State House.
And yet you are going to meet a man.
Now you are going to God's State House. But you dress in a particular way. So what are the children seeing?
Mm-hmm.
And how? What respect then do they have for that God? So even if you are talking of reverence to them, mm-hmm. they don't know what you are talking about.
Yes.
It's that concept is not there. So it's a long answer to your short question. When we were growing up
mm-hmm.
as young Christians
mm-hmm.
In high school, in university.
Yes.
I go to the university today
mm-hmm.
Some once in a while to preach.
Yes.
And I see how the Christian Union officials are running this Christian Union meetings,
mm-hmm.
The services. And I'm thinking to myself, when I will see you chairman?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things would not be mentioned among us.
Mm-hmm.
They could not be done.
Yes.
Because of just that.
Reverence.
Respect and reverence for God's house and God's things
mm-hmm.
that we held high.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that that is lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of seriousness with God,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that the young people today are not serious with God. I know many young people who are very serious with God.
Yes.
They may not know how to relate with him in the same way that we used to relate with him.
Mm-hmm.
But in their own way, their expression and love for God and passion for God. I was in a graduation meeting ceremony last on Saturday.
Mm.
And one of our young people here from Valley Road was graduating. And the things that people were saying about this young girl.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, Lord, we still have hope.
Wow. Wow.
You know?
Mm.
She is serious with God.
Yes.
Serious more than I was in my time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not just the time. They may do things differently,
mm-hmm.
but there are young people who are serious with God.
Mm-hmm.
They love God. They pursue God. They want to live for God. And I was very impressed by that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is yes and no, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that because you brought in something that we may not have thought about, reverence.
Mm-hmm.
And even for me as a parent and many others listening, I think we need to start teaching our children about, you know, revering God and also certain offices like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bishop.
Thank you.
Quite a number of comments. I'm not going to go through them now, but allow me, when we were off here, Bishop, I was telling you concerning when you mentioned about favor, how a leader should favor everyone in an equal way.
Equitable.
Equitable. Yes. I remembered Cain. You know, Cain's story is a very sad story. How he felt that God was not just to him. And of course, even how he talked to God. Yeah. Possibly you can mention and tell us, how does Cain's story fall under interaction or
justice?
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, Cain's story is a very good example
mm-hmm.
of organizational justice.
Okay.
Because we talk about perception.
Mm-hmm.
So when these two brothers went to give their offerings,
yes.
Nani Abel gave his offering, which was accepted by God.
Yes.
And then Cain gave his offering, which was not accepted by God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do not know the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So Cain felt that there was injustice.
Yes.
That God was unjust.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because he couldn't kill God, you know,
no one can kill. Very true.
Then now he goes to kill his brother,
mm-hmm.
and that happens in organizations.
Yeah,
where you feel the boss is unfair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's treating my colleague better than I am,
mm-hmm.
and so because you can't kill the boss, you go to kill your colleague.
We sabotage
them. Mm-hmm. You whatever killing means.
Oh,
yeah.
Because sabotage is us.
Just killing. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It can mean many things,
mm-hmm.
including literal killing.
Mm-hmm.
People have actually killed their colleagues,
mm-hmm.
because they are outshining them.
Mm-hmm.
Where they sit or stand, they feel that they are favored more than I am, and therefore they are the obstacle to my progress. So they can actually go and kill the person.
Mm-hmm.
But those are rare, but they are there.
Mm-hmm.
But we kill in many other ways.
Yeah.
You know, just get rid of this person, make their life difficult until they resign, you know, all kinds of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, who are you fighting? You're fighting the boss.
Oh, in the case of Cain, in the case of Cain,
he's fighting God.
Yes.
So, but because he couldn't kill God, he killed
Abel.
But now look at how God dealt with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, before
mm-hmm.
he kills his brother.
Mm-hmm.
This was before.
Yes.
But he, because the Bible says Cain was very angry.
Yes.
That his offering had not
been accepted. Yes.
So God comes to him
mm-hmm.
and tells him,
mm-hmm.
which is what leaders should do.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the right thing, will you not be accepted?
Yes.
In other words, your brother is not the problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am a just God. I'm a just boss, if you look at it from a leadership perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So do the right thing. And I have preached on that. Maybe you have listened to my sermon called Just Do the Right Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have had people preach on that.
Yes.
And given all kinds of explanations.
Mm-hmm.
Mara, because God wanted animal sacrifice and Cain brought crops.
Mm-hmm.
That's why his sacrifice was not accepted, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But we find when the time of Moses, when God was giving what kind of things that could be brought as sacrifice, crop was one of them.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the first fruit
mm-hmm.
of your harvest.
Yes.
Yes. And people brought crops.
Mm-hmm.
And God accepted.
Yes.
So you can't say because God, Cain offered crops, that's why he was not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
That is not in the scriptures.
Yes.
It is not in the scriptures. So my observation is that we don't know
mm-hmm.
why
yes.
God did not accept Cain's offering.
Yes.
But God told him, if you do the right thing. The other thing that I noticed there is that I always read that story
mm-hmm.
as if you did the right thing.
Yes.
In other words, it is in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You would have been accepted.
Yes.
But he's saying, if you do, which is now, which mm-hmm. means you still have opportunity.
Wow.
To do it. Yes. That's what it said.
That's deep. Very deep.
That's when I always read that verse, if mm-hmm. you did. So mm-hmm. in other words, the chance passed you.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
opportunity passed you. Your Kairos moment
has gone.
No, but God is saying, if you do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
now you will be accepted. That's organizational justice. That's mm-hmm. fairness.
Mm-hmm.
That's interactional justice. That informational justice.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, all of them. What is interesting is that Cain does not ask what is the right thing.
Yeah, he never did.
He didn't ask, which gives me the impression that he knew what it was. That's why he didn't ask. But instead of doing that right thing, God told him, if you don't do the thing, sin is crouching at your door.
Yes.
You know? And he allowed sin to overtake him. So he killed his brother instead of doing the right thing.
Yes.
And many of us are like that.
Mm-hmm.
The boss has made it clear. This is what I want. This is what I want. This is what we need. This is what we need. You don't do it. And then the other person does it and they are appreciated and then you're feeling bad.
Yes. Instead of going back and
do the right thing.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
Just do the right thing and you'll also be accepted.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what fairness is all about.
Yes.
So you have done a very shoddy job.
And you can also see.
You can also see that you didn't give it your very best shot.
Yes, yes.
But now when we are commending the other person, you feel you should also
be commended. Yeah.
For what? Go and do the right thing and you will commend you also.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting, but it is perception that Cain had that God is unjust.
Mm-hmm.
And is playing favoritism with Abel, caused him to kill his brother. That's how bad perceptions of organizational justice can be. And so, as leaders, therefore, we need to do what God did. The Bible does not give us the details of their discussion. I believe that was not the whole story.
Yes.
But explain to the people, this is what it's all about.
Yes.
If you want to move to the next grade, this is what you need to do.
Yes.
Then work on it.
And people will work very hard.
Yes, and go to the next grade.
Yes.
Yeah, it is not favoritism. Yeah.
Wow. I like that, Bishop. I like that. And it's very deep that we still have an opportunity. I wish Cain took that opportunity.
I wish.
Yes.
God is saying, do the right thing.
Because
I don't have a lot of platforms to preach, let me preach here.
Yes.
When we are dealing with God particularly, not human beings, when we are dealing with God particularly.
Yes.
There are things that God expects of us. Because you look at somebody and they are feeling blessed, they are looking like God favors them, you know, whatever they touch is happening and so on and so forth. And you begin to feel a sense of jealousy.
Oh, yes.
Which is what Cain was suffering from, jealousy.
Mm.
You feel like God is playing favoritism. You feel like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I have almost felt like God speaks to us even today and say, if you do the right thing,
yes,
I will also favor you.
Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people ask, so what is the right thing? The right thing is only known between you
and God.
And God.
Because he has communicated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because your right thing may not be my right thing.
Yes.
There's something that God is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Do this. Don't go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Follow this direction.
Mm-hmm.
But you are struggling with it because you don't want to obey the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think what you are doing is much better than what God is asking you to do.
Yes.
And so, because you have refused to do that which God is asking you to do, you cannot flow in the blessing of God.
Yes.
You know? For me, God has asked me to do a particular thing, and I am doing it, and therefore I'm flowing in the blessing of God. And now you are jealous of me.
And you haven't done what is expected.
Yes,
of you.
So you are saying, but I prayed like Oginde prays.
You can even but say, I pray.
I fast
more.
Even more. But is that what God is asking you?
No.
Maybe for me, because I'm struggling with the issues of prayer, God is asking me pray.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pray and it happens.
Mm-hmm.
For you, the issue is not prayer. For you, he's asking you for something else.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So now you are comparing yourself mm-hmm. on the levels of prayer, and you're saying, but I pray even better than him.
Ooh.
That's not what God is asking you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So between you and God, you know what the right thing is.
Wow.
Just do it.
A scientist and a bishop. You know what stands out for me there is that someone can still, like Cain, you can hear the voice of God, yet still do the wrong thing. Isn't that sad?
It is very sad.
Yeah.
But it happens. Even today.
Mm-hmm.
Even today.
Okay. Bishop, I think we have some minutes before we get to question of the day. Possibly you can, you were about to finish. You had actually finished interactional justice, yeah?
Yes, mm-hmm. I had finished interactional justice. Just to say that even though organizational processes mm-hmm. may be very fair,
yes,
the individual supervisor's interaction with the members
mm-hmm.
can create feelings or perceptions of injustice,
mm-hmm.
which is something I said just before we went to the break.
Yes.
And this is what could cause even a person to leave the organization
mm-hmm.
at one end, mm-hmm. but it could also cause disquiet
yes.
among the members.
Mm-hmm.
Not because the organization is unfair, mm-hmm. but because the specific leader of that team
mm-hmm.
is not fair in their treatment of the members.
Mm-hmm.
That's why interactional justice is so very important.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can just move to the next one, which is informational justice.
Yes.
Informational justice is defined as the quality
mm-hmm.
of the justice that in terms of knowledge and information
mm-hmm.
that is passed on to others.
Yes.
The levels of communication
mm-hmm.
that reaches individuals, that people receive. So I think we mentioned it when I was introducing the whole topic.
Mm-hmm.
So there are perceptions that the information that I am receiving
mm-hmm.
is different from what you are receiving.
Yes.
It's different from what the other person is receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And information is power.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
It is on the basis of information that we take actions.
Very true.
Or we conduct ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or response to situations. So, if depending on the kind of information that I receive,
mm-hmm.
I may act in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
Or I may do particular things.
Mm-hmm.
So, organizational members may discover that what you know and what I know are different.
Yes.
And therefore, you are acting, you know the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back to the right thing.
Yes, yes.
The information that you have
mm-hmm.
is helping you to do the right thing.
The right thing. Mm.
The information I have is not in line with the right thing.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I'm therefore not acting
mm-hmm.
in the right way, and then I'm being judged for it.
Yes.
So that creates a sense of injustice.
Mm-hmm.
How much information is given to individuals? And I think I mentioned last time, maybe I could just repeat
mm-hmm.
that again, this is not, we are not saying that we distribute information or mm-hmm. disseminate information
mm-hmm.
in a democratic manner.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is on a need to know basis
mm-hmm.
that what Shiko needs to know
mm-hmm.
in her role and position, she knows.
Yes.
What I need to know
mm-hmm.
in my role and position, mm-hmm. I know.
Yes.
What another person needs to know in their role and position, they know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what brings a sense of equity.
Yes.
So if I find that you have more information than I have,
mm-hmm.
and you are in a position that is higher than I am, in terms of that particular issue,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel bad.
Yes.
You know, you are there, you need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you find that a person who is lower than you knows more than you on matters that you are supposed to know, then you feel this injustice.
Yes.
How comes I don't know?
Mm-hmm.
How did this person get to know?
Yes.
And especially if you find that it was officially communicated to them. If they have got it from the grapevine, that's okay. But if it has been officially communicated to them and you don't have it yourself, then you feel this is an injustice.
Yes.
That is where informational justice comes in. So that as a leader, you need to ensure that the information goes to the right people. The right information goes to the right people at the right time.
Yes.
Those are the three rights.
Right information, right person, right time. Yes.
Because if you give me the right information that is right to me, but much later than other people, then it is of no value.
Very true.
You see? People already knew about it. Now you say, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention to you that we are doing this, and the other. Yes, like, but the horse has left the, you know, the stable. So why are you telling me? People already acted on this. People already gone. Things have already happened. So why are you telling me now?
And it could contribute to... what you were talking about earlier, you said output. If I get late information, like for example, I'm coming to the studio, I've already started my show, and then I'm told you're supposed to do this at 11 and it's 12.
It affects your output, and then be judged for your output. And even if you are not being judged, people perceive you like... you're not in touch with the ground. Why are you not, you're the one in charge of this. Why are you not doing it? And they're like, I didn't know. How comes you didn't know and all of us know? And you're the one in charge.
Yes.
So it puts you in a very awkward
position.
So the information needs to be right. The person being told needs to be right.
Yes.
And... The timing also needs to be right. That is what constitutes informational justice.
Wow.
If you give even very important information to the wrong person, it's injustice. Because sometimes you may come to me and I am the boss and we have discussed something in the board and you're a very low person, junior, if we call that, use that word. And then I'm telling you, we are discussing this in the board and and you're thinking to yourself, why am I being told this? This is not in my, pay grade. So you even feel awkward.
Yes.
And you know, so-and-so said this and no, so-and-so is doing this. This is what they are doing. And, and you're thinking to yourself, why are you telling me this?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can even have very important information being given to you, but you feel it is not relevant, is not appropriate. It makes you also feel uncomfortable. So it is not just that you need to know. You don't need to know everything.
Very true.
But when you are given information that is at your level, then you feel appreciated.
Yes.
You feel respected. You feel honored, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is what... informational justice is all about.
Wow. Thank you so much, Bishop. I think with that, we can now shift to the questions.
Yes, why not?
Okay. Allow us to...
Question of the day on the Leadership Forum.
Before we get to the questions, I think I'm just going to sample some of the comments. Someone saying, they are very good students here, Bishop.
Yeah.
Someone is saying, equality is, if a donor is giving 100,000 to 10 families, equality is giving each family 10,000. If a donor, and equity is, if a donor is giving 100,000 to 10 families, equity is giving each family a varied amount depending on the number of children. Then he says it's PM from Kitengela and he says God is just.
That's why God does not give us equally. No.
So
many of us would like all of us to have 100,000.
Yes.
No, but God knows our capacity.
we will be so shocked.
Yeah.
Once it hits the bank.
Some of us, if today I'm landed with 1 billion, I would go crazy. I mean, I don't know what to do. What I would do with a billion.
Yes.
You know, and mm-hmm. so God will not allow me
mm-hmm.
to have a billion, even if I pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Until you have the capability.
Until I have the capability,
mm-hmm.
the capacity to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
If you give me a million today,
mm-hmm.
I won't even think twice.
Wow.
Yeah, because it is, I have handled a million.
Yes, you have.
You know, I have handled a million.
Yes.
So I will be very excited that mm-hmm. I have received this unexpected gift.
Yes.
But I will not die.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I don't know what to do with this money.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So God takes us a step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the talent story, which you gave us earlier.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
The person who was faithful in what they had been given
was given more. Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are faithful in five,
mm-hmm.
then God sees, this person can manage five. Let mm-hmm. me give them seven.
Wow.
Then you are faithful in seven. Then they give you 10.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'll give you 100.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'll give you 1 million.
Wow.
Because you are faithful in. Because we are but stewards.
Wow.
So God will only give you what you are capable of managing.
That's deep. It means that many of us don't have a lot of what we expect is because we have not been faithful with what we've been
given.
Because
you are grumbling
mm-hmm.
over the little you have. You remember the guy with one?
Mm-hmm. Saying you're like, a very harsh man.
You know, I just kept it.
Yes.
And many of us are like that.
Mm-hmm.
God has given you 1,000 shillings.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel it is too little. You waste it.
Oh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It is too little. How come so-and-so has 1 million? How come so-and-so has 10,000? How come so-and-so has 100? So you are looking at so-and-so. You are
mm-hmm.
not looking at what God has given you.
Yes.
If you become faithful with that 1,000, and mm-hmm. I know people who have used five. I was listening to a testimony of a person who had 500 shillings.
Mm-hmm.
And they started a business, which now is a multi-million business.
Wow.
500,000.
Mm-hmm.
500 shillings.
And there's someone who will be sent that and they will not reply and say thank you. When you call them, they say, Aukutuma yakuto.
Oh, yakuto.
Oh, may God help us to be grateful. Someone is saying here, I'm listening. Could equity bring discrimination, especially in a family set with many members? This is Esther.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Equity brings satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
I know the sense of democracy has really messed us up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back ages,
yes,
wise fathers
mm-hmm.
never gave their children
mm-hmm.
equal shares.
Wow.
No.
Mm-hmm.
They gave them according to
their ability. Yes.
So they will say, so and so, you will have this house at such and such a place. So and so, you will have the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So and so, you will have this land.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know?
Mm.
They knew their children and their capacities, and they gave them according
to
their capacities.
Yes.
Now we have got this democratic thing
mm-hmm.
where 1 acre of land has to be divided into six.
Yes.
Equal portions.
Mm-hmm.
Then one gets it and tomorrow it is sold. It is gone.
Mm.
So it tells you that person
mm-hmm.
should not even have got a portion.
Very true.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the capacity.
They don't have the capacity. They don't have the value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the sense of equality
mm-hmm.
is really messing our sense of equity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our sense of equality is messing with
our sense of
equity.
Equity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That is, Bishop, today. You're saying a lot of deep things. That's very deep. Asante sana. Someone else saying, greetings, tuned in and blessed to be listening from Greece. I love this leadership
wow.
forum. That's very informative, and best of all, based on God's word, I always leave feeling empowered and well tapped in. God bless you. This is
wow,
Zawadi.
Greece.
Yes.
Do they even hear our, understand our language?
Yes.
It is them who speak and we don't understand.
Yes.
It's just Greek to me.
Very true. She says her name is Zawadi, so possibly.
Oh, Zawadi is a Kenyan.
That's why. There's someone else here. Praise God. Kindly ask Bishop, how can one help a church that has poisoned two of the pastors that were sent from the head office? What could these brethren be suffering from?
Poisoned?
Yeah.
Killed?
Poisoned. I don't know if they died. They have not written there if the people died.
And it is known that they were poisoned?
Yes.
That...
disturbing, very disturbing.
I actually don't know what to say. Yeah. I don't know what to say because there are underlying issues. Mm-hmm. I saw yesterday in Nyeri?
Mm-hmm.
Just yesterday, last night on the news.
Yes.
Where there's a church, I think it was in Nyeri,
mm-hmm.
Where the pastor was transferred to coast somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying a new pastor was brought. And they were saying they are not going to accept that pastor.
Mm-hmm.
They are not coming to church. They are locking the place and so on and so forth. It was so bad. It was in the news last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Nyeri.
Mm-hmm.
And their reasoning was that this particular pastor that was being transferred had brought a lot of development,
mm-hmm.
Even built the church, and it was a shock, as they said.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is a big... building.
Yes.
He has helped them to grow and develop, and now he's being transferred and they don't want it and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say, just because I don't know the context, a lot of these things depend on context.
Yes.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. one would need to know the context and what the issues are. But let me say just generally. Generally, what I would say is this.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to church, and I want to speak to members of
yes.
the church.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, you go to meet with God.
Yes.
The pastor is a representative
from
of God.
Yes.
But he is not
God.
Your God.
Yes.
God is God.
Mm-hmm.
And God can use anybody, can
mm-hmm.
use anything.
Very true.
To speak to you. So, first, just appreciate that...
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a system where pastors are transferred,
mm-hmm.
Moved around among the branches,
yes,
appreciate that whichever pastor that is brought to you at any given time,
mm-hmm.
that is God's messenger
mm-hmm.
to you
yes.
at that time.
Very true.
It may have been done from your point of view, the procedure may, you know, the looking at procedural justice.
Yes.
You know,
mm.
the procedure may not have been good or well,
mm-hmm.
but God uses all kinds of things to do his work.
Oh, yeah.
So he can even use human mistake and
mm-hmm.
human error
mm-hmm.
to actually give you a great pastor.
Yes.
So don't say, we are not going to accept this, we are going to kill him, like poisoning him.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is not right. This is God's house, this is God's work.
Mm-hmm.
Just accept that pastor, allow them to do their work.
Mm-hmm.
For the time that they are there, and be blessed at their feet.
Amen.
They are God's representative.
God's representative. It's so, oh yeah, he or she says the pastor's died. Very sad, very sad.
That's very sad.
Mm.
Their blood will be on your head.
On the people who killed?
Yes,
yes.
Killed my servant.
Mm.
Yes. If it is true, I
mm-hmm.
hope it. I'm where I'm sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still hoping it is not true.
Me too.
Because
it's for me, I feel like it's very.
It is satanic.
Yeah, it is. It
yeah.
is. May God comfort their families. Anyway. Someone here saying, "Praise God, Shiko and Bishop. I'm tuning from Gashie. I still remember his teaching some way back last year." Jumping the line, it has shaped up my life greatly. Long live Bishop. This is one Pauline Sifuma.
Okay.
Yes.
Gashie.
Yes.
You know, that's my village.
Okay.
Yes, I come from Gashie.
Yes. I understand how.
You understand how?
Yes.
My village.
Someone else saying, please let Bishop know that we can give him a platform in our church.
Amen.
Yes, I don't know. Let me see who this is. They don't say their name.
Yeah.
Yes. Someone is saying, about looking at the youth and how it was in the past, how do we make it with what the preacher says that nothing is new under the sun? Ecclesiastes 7:10, don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. He's saying, I feel like things were not very good in the past. For instance, early pregnancies, HIV, AIDS, crime. I think she or he misunderstood what...
No. I think they have a point there, mm-hmm. but just to clarify.
Yes.
We are not saying that the past was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are saying that certain things are practices mm-hmm. that we had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking about principles,
mm-hmm.
not practices.
Oh, yeah.
Were such that... they showed our seriousness
mm-hmm.
with God,
yes.
people's seriousness with God.
Mm-hmm.
So like, take for example what he has said, early mm-hmm. pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
It was very rare to find a Christian girl
pregnant. Yes.
Very rare.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that everybody would be wondering, what?
Hey.
How did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and sometimes in our current generation, it has become
almost normal.
The norm. Yeah,
it is almost normal.
Mm-hmm.
It is every day almost.
Mm-hmm.
It was very rare. And
mm-hmm.
by the way, to add,
mm-hmm.
it was not just the Christian girls.
Mm-hmm.
Girls in general.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very rare. As I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
I can think of one or two, mm-hmm. you know, in our village.
Yes.
Who became pregnant?
Yes.
Over a long period of time. And people were like, so and so's daughter is pregnant. What
mm-hmm.
happened? You know?
Yes.
It was very rare for girls
mm-hmm.
to actually be pregnant
mm-hmm.
before marriage. So those are things that were good,
mm-hmm.
which we have lost.
Yes.
But can be worked on. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
That's why I added that. It does not mean that there are no young people who are serious today.
Mm-hmm.
There are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in their own way. In their own way. So we are not saying, let's go back to 1970s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
We are only saying...
we can pick some...
For me, it is not even picking those things.
Uh-huh.
Let's be serious with God today.
Mm-hmm.
Let there be reverence for God.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you are going to God's house,
mm-hmm.
we're not saying you wear the long skirts of my mother,
mm-hmm.
the pleats and so on that they used to wear.
Yes.
But you are saying, think about it before you leave your house, that I'm going to God's house.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I need to respect him.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the way I look, the way I walk, the way I talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come to church, they are talking, they are SMSing, they are doing all kind of things.
They are on WhatsApp.
They are on WhatsApp. That's what we are talking about.
Yes.
We can't go
reverence,
back there.
Yes.
But the principles hold to today.
Mm.
Yeah.
Asante sana. There is someone here who is saying, hello, Bishop Enshiko. Equity and equality, deep stuff indeed. Began listening to Leadership Forum while in Form 4 and 7 years plus. Impact is great in my different spheres of leadership. Thank you, Bishop. This is Juan Karanja, all the way from Joska.
Wow. From Form 4.
Yes.
Wow.
Asante sana. There's someone else here. Yeah. I think that we'll take the last one. Someone saying, praise God, Shiko and Bishop, I love the teachings from Bishop and they are very good eye-opener. How can you come and share these teachings as a sermon in our church, which is one of the mainstream churches? You're saying he is saying your former church. I'm just a member in this church and our church, there's a lot of protocol to be followed. I love your teachings, sir. And they have been a blessing to me. Of course, they don't give their name, but today you have really been appreciated, Bishop.
Thank you.
We
thank God.
Yes.
Yeah, it's God's favor.
Very true.
Yeah, we do training for churches, mm-hmm. for individuals. Yes, so we'll be very happy to.
Yes.
To do those kinds of things.
Asante sana.
Asante.
Bishop, time is already spent, so I'm just going to ask you if you can just pray. I know that there are a lot of people who may be feeling like Cain did, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, or some
God
who are feeling...
God is unfair.
Yeah, some are feeling there are several favorites in my family or in my workplace. Kindly just pray for us, yeah.
Lord, we thank you for giving us opportunity this day to just discuss these matters of justice. Your word is very clear in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, that God is not unjust.
Yes.
And so in whichever place we find ourselves, it may be human beings who appear to be unjust to us, unfair to us, whether in family, in our workplaces, in society in general, but we can go back to you. Who is not unjust. Lord, you will sort us out. I pray for any person who is feeling this afternoon like they have been mistreated, mishandled, they have been treated unjustly, they have been bypassed in one way or another, that Lord, you'd speak to their hearts to know that their lives and their future is in your hand.
Yes.
And therefore, you can guide them, you can direct them when they submit themselves to you and get them to that place where indeed the justice that is due to them will come to pass. So I commit each one of us that we will not take the path of Cain, but we will follow, O God, the justice of God and listen to you as you guide us every day. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Asante sana. Thank you so much for keeping it right here. Of course, time is not on our side, but we want to say asante for keeping us company. Find a Bishop on Leadership Forum every alternate Monday. For me right now, to say kwaheri until tomorrow, same time from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.